Well, good morning, everyone. How are we today? Good, thanks. Oh, fantastic. I love when I get a response. I'm looking for lots of response today, okay? Lots of encouragement from all of you. It's great to be in church today. My name is Jess. I am the associate pastor here. And it is great to be speaking today to you guys. This message is entitled, The Struggle is Real. The struggle is real. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the past month or so, talking about the chain reaction that happened in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came amongst the believers like a violent wind, it says. And we've also been talking so far about how the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all one and the same. We've also talked about that the Holy Spirit was left to us by Jesus. And when we become believers in God, we get the Holy Spirit inside of us. And he never leaves us, no matter what we may do. You know, this is just a really brief snapshot of what we've been talking about. If you've missed a week, or if you kind of want to go deeper into a little bit of that, you can look up our podcast. We have podcasts online on our website, or look up Inglewood Community Church in your podcasts. So what I want to talk about in this message entitled The Struggle is Real is the relationship between us and the Holy Spirit. And I actually want to say that there's a little bit of a struggle there. Now, I'm not talking about when a millennial comes up to you and is like, the struggle is real. Because it's not. But I'm actually talking about the very real struggle that exists between our own humanity and the Holy Spirit. Why don't we pray? God, thank you so much that you've given us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, God. And I pray that as we dive into that today, God, that you would be speaking to us, showing us, God, more of you, and showing us, Lord, how we can do life with you. In your name, amen. So when I talk about the struggle, what do I mean? When I say the struggle is real, what is the actual struggle? It's the struggle for control. For control. So we as humans, we like to be in control, don't we? You know, we do. Thank you. I love this. Keep it coming. We actually have an over-the-top obsession with being in control, don't we? In fact, we've actually made it this completely unattainable thing that actually it's just so hard to get there, we just give up. So we're like, no, we're never going to get control anyway, so we just give up. You know, my Facebook feed is full of memes about this. If you don't know what a meme is, this is a meme. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Bridget Jones. You realize it's Bridget Jones? She's just given up on life. And this is another one. Some people call me a control freak, but I like to think of myself as a control enthusiast. Fantastic. Yeah, they might be funny, but, you know, we like to know what's... Ooh, hello. Oh, I'm back. We like to know what's going on in our lives, don't we? At all times. We like to know that we're in control. We like to actually feel like we're in control. And we want to be able to feel like we like the way that our lives are going. Don't we? Yeah, good. Fantastic. You know, as Christians, though, we believe that God should be in control, don't we? We actually spend our lives trying to relinquish control. There's this tension that goes on. At least in my life, I find that, you know, I try and be in control and I remember, oh, actually, no, God should be in control right now. But then while I'm being in control, I'm like, oh, God should be in control. There's this tension that happens between me and God, right? And it's this consistent struggle. I don't know if you've felt this before. Yes. I think worship leading is one of these spaces in which this control, this, you know, need for control is like quite a big deal. So worship leading is more than just like waking up on a Sunday morning, putting your skinny jeans on, and then bam, it's like the Holy Spirit is there, right? There's more to worship leading than skinny jeans. I'm speaking to myself right now. It's fantastic. You know, when you're leading worship, actually the goal for you is to just get out of the way and let God do his thing. But at the same time, you're still standing on the stage. You're visible. You're still here. Right? And then what you're playing with the band has to be good enough so that it doesn't distract from what God is doing. And then also a good worship leader can see what's going on in the room and can read it. All at the same time as standing on that stage and leading and being human. So I had an experience a couple of months ago. I was leading worship at the Fresh Women's Conference. And, you know, leading worship at a big conference is a lot different to leading worship here. So here, this is like local church. We all know each other. We're family, right? We've been playing together for a while. But at a big conference like that, what happens is you pull people in from all around Perth. And actually, some of them you may have met once or twice. Some of them you might have met when you rocked up to rehearsal that day. And then all of a sudden, you're leading worship together. But you don't really know each other. You know, this is different. I mean, it's not bad. It's just a different thing. So for this women's conference, I was asked to put the team together. And, you know, with a group of people who you don't really know all that well, this tension actually becomes harder. This tension for control. Because the stakes are high, right? And you feel like you need to be in control because actually you're not entirely sure how exactly this is going to go. Because you've never been on that stage, in that setting, leading worship with these people before. You know, and I started to feel, I just noticed myself feeling like a little bit more anxious about this than normal. Like, oh, what's it going to be like, you know? And I felt, as we're rehearsing, I was feeling this need for control rising up inside of me, and it just wasn't going away. But the funny thing was that the more that I tried to be in control, the less I felt like I was in control of the situation, right? So we get to the day, and I'm standing on the platform. We're about to start. And it's like a whole day thing. There's like 700 women in this auditorium. And there's a row of Pentecostal pastors in the front row. They're fantastic. They're so encouraging. If you ever want to like lead worship to a room full of women, have Pentecostal pastors in the front row. They're so good. I love it. So I'm standing there. We're about to start the day. The countdown video is going on, much like we have here. And my heart is like pounding in my chest. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I don't know about you, but when I get nervous, I get out of breath. Like, right now, no. And my heart's pounding in my chest because I'm feeling the tension between my own need for control and the fact that I need to lead these women into the presence of God right now. Right? And, you know, we get past the first song, and I'm like, yes, I made it past. I had to open the whole day. I didn't stuff it up. It was amazing. The song was so much fun. And we get there. We're getting into the second song. And I'm standing there with my eyes closed. We're about to sing Who You Say I Am. You know that one that we sing here. And I start to feel like maybe I need to say something here. Right? And then this beautiful thing happens. I just open my eyes. And I just started to speak. I just started speaking. It was like in that moment, well, it wasn't like it was. The Holy Spirit just took over and he gave me the words that I needed for that moment. It was amazing. You know, and at the moment, what the Holy Spirit was doing as well was reminding me that I wasn't alone. You know, that he was right there with me and it was going to be okay. It was an incredible experience. But you know, the thing about an experience like that is that I didn't stop being human, right? So I'm standing there, I'm saying these words, but at the same time, my heart's still pounding in my chest. It's still going on. Even though the Holy Spirit was right there, I was still human. And perhaps you've had a similar experience to this. But in the middle of that tension between myself and what the Holy Spirit is doing, who's in control there? Who is in control? Because I'm saying these words that are from the Holy Spirit, but I'm still there. I'm still saying them, aren't I? You know, my need to feel like I'm in control is actually all about independence, isn't it? It's about saying, like, I'm a strong, independent woman who don't need nobody, right? It's about self-sufficiency and self-preservation. And actually, it's all about me needing to feel good about myself and needing to feel like I'm in control because I can do this by myself. And it's going to be okay, Jess. Maybe it's not going to be okay. You know, there's a quote by Richard Rohr that says this. It's going to be on the screen. It says, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is control. The opposite of faith is control. Because faith is all about trust, right? And control is all about independence. Our obsessive need to be in control is in fact the opposite to having faith. Because control says that I don't need anybody else, but faith says that I choose to depend on someone else. So who was in control when I was leading worship at Fresh? Well, actually, it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit did his thing through me. I was still there. I was speaking those words, but he was working through me in that moment. There's this saying in Christian vocabulary, you might have heard it, says, let go and let God. Yet, this means that in the midst of our struggle for control, we should just let it go and let God do his thing. Well, yeah. And no. Because when we say this, what we're doing is we're actually assuming that once we've done that, we don't have anything to do with it anymore. We're just like, God, you just take your thing. You just take it, and I'm just going to let you at it, and I'm just going to stop trying. And that's why it's problematic, because no matter what the situation is, we're still going to be involved. And if we were to stop trying and kind of let God do our bidding for us, there's no point in existing, is there? God can do whatever he wants, no matter who we are. You know, the reality is actually, it's not let go and let God. It's not God or me. It's actually God and me. It's God with me and God through me. Not God or me. We're together. See, our version of control is independence from anything and everything. Right? God's version of control is interdependence. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, you know? I reckon God knew what he was doing when he gave us the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says this. This is Jesus speaking. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So I want to pick up, let's just leave that in there. I want to pick up on this word helper, but the helper. Because what does it mean? What does the word helper mean? Well, purely and simply, you're going to laugh, but it means that the Holy Spirit's here to help us. Another translation, though, says that he is our advocate. He advocates for us to the Father, and he leads us. So what that means when I think of the Holy Spirit as helper is that when I'm standing there worship leading and I'm standing in that tension between me and the Holy Spirit, he's waiting on me as much as I'm waiting on him. What he wants to do there is he wants me to ask for help, and he's ready to give it like that. You know, it actually means that when I'm wondering what words to say, the Holy Spirit's going to be there helping me. Maybe I'm having a conversation with a friend who's going through a tough time. The Holy Spirit will be right there with me. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And actually, it means that when I was there and leading worship at Fresh, the Holy Spirit reminded me, he brought to my remembrance all that he says about us, that we are children of his, that he is in control. He will never forsake us. And that's what I spoke out. That's what he did, like that verse says there. But you know, it's really interesting to me that the Bible doesn't say that the Holy Spirit just takes over, does it? It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is like, oh, she's not doing a very good job. I'm just going to take this and do this. No, it says that the Holy Spirit will help us, that he is going to help us, and that we are in this together. You know, and he's going to remind me of what Jesus taught me, and he's going to lead me through those moments. You know, Jesus himself knew this struggle. Did you know that Jesus needed the Holy Spirit? Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, just like we do. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. If you want to turn with me there, we're going to stay there for a bit. And there's just a bit of context here. This is in the previous chapter, Luke 3. What happens is Jesus gets baptized and the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Let's read this. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven says, "You are my dearly loved son and you bring me great joy." So that's the context. But let's move on to Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. It starts with this. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. That's where he got baptized. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. So there's two parts to these verses that I find really, really interesting. The first part is this, is that he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Why is this interesting? Just before that, Jesus has just received the Holy Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? He leads him into the wilderness. Why? You know, of all the places that the Spirit could lead Jesus in this moment, why would he lead him into the wilderness? Isn't that interesting? Because you would actually think that maybe the Holy Spirit is going to take him to the promised land, going to take him to a really nice place, you know, lead me beside the still waters, God. But no, he takes him into the wilderness. And why is this interesting? Because that is where the struggle is real. He's tempted. He's tested by the devil. Yet the Spirit actually doesn't always lead us to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. No. Sometimes he leads us into the wilderness to test us, to tempt us, to make us hungry. You know, isn't the Bible just like hilarious sometimes? I love the last bit of this. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Of course he was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. I'm hungry right now, actually. Oh, jeez. I mean, way to state the obvious. Honestly, Luke, what are you doing? You know, Jesus needed the Holy Spirit because he was just as human as you and I are, as he's sitting there and as I am. He was just as human as us. And if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, him being part of the Holy Spirit, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need him? How much more do we need him? There's this song that came out a few years ago that actually resonated with the global church. Everyone everywhere was singing it. We sung it here for a while. It's called Oceans. It was great. And this is what the bridge of the song says. It says, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior." I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about why this song resonated so much with people around the world. This won so many awards. It was everywhere. But why did it resonate with us? Because I think actually we all kind of have a sense in life that God's going to take us to the hard places. That God's going to take us to places that aren't easy, where there's temptations and trials. You know, we know that life's not going to be easy, right? Yet the world, and we did with the world, cried out this, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders." That's actually kind of a scary and dangerous thing to say, isn't it? Because what are you doing there? You're actually giving the Holy Spirit permission to take you to the hard places, to take you to the places where it's really difficult, and you actually just have no choice but to trust in Him, where you actually just need the Holy Spirit. You know, I think at the same time, we actually know that in those places our faith is going to grow. That even though the Spirit may lead us to where our trust is without borders, whatever that looks like, our faith is going to grow. As it says in the song there, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger. So perhaps that's the reason why we all sung it with so much conviction. Because we know that in the hard places our faith is going to grow. And we know that no matter where the Spirit leads us, He's not going to leave us. You know, no one wants to live a boring life, right? No one wants to be stuck in a boring life because, you know, it's actually really exciting to live life with the Holy Spirit because He does lead us to those places. You know, He does actually lead us to the good places as well. But it's just so interesting that He would lead us, or lead Jesus to the wilderness. But the thing is that He led Him there, but He didn't leave Him there. He didn't leave Him there. And you know, if we, in our lives as Christians, if we will let Him lead us and we will let Him help us and teach us, He's going to teach us. And He's actually going to give us more resolve. Because sometimes when you're in those hard places and you know that the Spirit is with you, doesn't that just give you more resolve? Doesn't that just kind of help you through? Doesn't that just go, okay, I'm in this hard place, but the Spirit is with me and it's okay. So if Jesus Himself needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? How much more do we? You know, this may all seem very complicated. That's because it kind of is. It's a little complicated because we're human, right? And we actually can't fathom all that God is and all that God does. We can't. A phrase that helps me in my life is, God does as God does. But you know what? He didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Spirit. But I wonder for you today, have you felt this tension before? Have you felt this tension between yourself and your need for control and the Holy Spirit? Do you know what that feels like? You know, have you actually wondered how to do life with the Holy Spirit? Does this make sense? Have you ever needed help? I have. And if you have, you're not alone. I want to say to us this morning that you actually need Him. You actually need the Holy Spirit with you. And that's why God has given Him to us. And even if you don't believe in Jesus right now, when you do, the Holy Spirit will be given to you. And God's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And you are going to be able to do life with Him. And I actually do want to say that it's actually kind of a big thing to accept help, isn't it? Because our natural tendency is to want control and to want it now. But actually accepting help allows us to open our arms and open ourselves to what God and the Holy Spirit is going to do. You know, we actually only need to ask. All the time as we go through life, there is always us and there is always the Holy Spirit. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do is partner with you and be alongside you and help you in your life. Because life is hard, right? We go through those really difficult times. But we have the Holy Spirit there. And let's go back to that verse in John 14. But when the Father sends the Advocate, that is the Helper, as my representative, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. So, how in control are you? Are you a control enthusiast? Do you need the Holy Spirit today? You know, the Holy Spirit, once he's with you, he never leaves you. He is always with you. He's just actually waiting for you to call on him. And you know, I've actually realized over the course of my life, a bit like Jesus experienced, sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us to places where, quite frankly, I don't want to go there. He might lead me to a place and ask me to do something that I don't want to do. But it's actually in those most uncomfortable places. The reason why I feel uncomfortable is because I can't remain in control. It's because I actually need the Holy Spirit with me. It's a need. And in those uncomfortable places is where God does the most amazing things. Don't you just wish this was the other way around? Sometimes I do. But you know what? At the same time, the Holy Spirit will be with us no matter what it is that we go through. You know, I've almost kind of come to expect that when I'm really nervous about something or uncomfortable with it, that God's going to do something amazing. Isn't that interesting? Because there's actually a point at which my humanity has to stop. And God and the Holy Spirit needs to help me. And I call out to him and he comes every time. Another thing that I've realized is actually doing life with the Holy Spirit isn't like a one-off decision. It's actually a moment-by-moment decision. We have, in every moment of our lives, the choice to hold on to our control or to let the Holy Spirit help us. And, you know, every time he pushes me into a hard situation, every time he's there with me, and he's teaching me how to trust him the next time as well. Because he never leaves me. And you know what? When we choose to follow the Holy Spirit, there's a freedom there. There's freedom like we haven't had before. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There is freedom. There's a freedom to be found in saying that, or realizing that, you know, it's not God or me, it's God and me. It's God with me, it's God through me. So I want to ask us today, where do you need the Holy Spirit's help? Where do you need his help in your life? Perhaps you haven't said yes to Jesus yet. But maybe you're sitting here today and you can feel something inside of you tugging at you. I want to say that that's the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to call it for what it is. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's actually calling you today to respond to him. So, if that is you, I'm actually going to pray for you now. And I'm going to invite you to respond to that call. I'm going to invite you to respond to what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. But I'm going to pray for another thing as well. Maybe you're sitting here thinking that I need the Holy Spirit's help with something. Maybe there's a situation that you're in at the moment that you're feeling like, I can't do this by myself anymore. Maybe it's a job that you don't have. Maybe it's a job you hate. Maybe it's a situation that you just don't know how it's going to change. Maybe you need wisdom for your circumstances. So I'm going to pray for both of those things. Why don't we pray together? So for those of you who are feeling that tug inside of you, this is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for you now and invite you to respond just where you are. Just pray with me. Father, I know that I need you. And I know that that's you calling me to you today. Right now, I choose to respond and I choose to say yes to you. I know that I need you and I give you permission to change me. I give you permission to be in my life right now. But I can't do it anymore on my own and I choose you today. Amen. For those of you who you need the Holy Spirit's help with something, why don't you just where you are, put your hands out. We're going to receive the Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit is going to help you right now. I believe that. Father, for those who are believing for a change, for those who need wisdom in their circumstances, God, you know what it is, Father. Holy Spirit, I pray that you help them. I pray, God, that right now as they're sitting there, they would feel you with them. And Holy Spirit, that you would lead them and guide them and give them an answer today. Give them what they need today, Father. Thank you that you promise us that you'll never leave us, that you've given us the Holy Spirit as a helper. And Father, in our lives as we go through them, we pray for your help. We're sorry for the times when we hold on to control too much, God, but right now, we choose you. We choose to allow to be helped by you, to allow ourselves to do that. Thank you, Jesus, that you are with us, that you gave your Holy Spirit to us, God, and thank you for what you are doing, for what you've done today, Father. It's in your mighty name we pray these things. Amen.